Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
Last week, we started on September 1st, we started what we're calling a 30-day challenge. 30 days to a better life is really what we termed it. And as a church, we're challenging each other, first of all, to read God's word every day. That's the first part of the challenge. And then when it comes to our music that we listen to, we're saying, for the next 30 days, all the way through the month of September, listen to nothing but worship music. Worship music only, because worship music has a power that other genres of music will never have. It has the power to change our heart, our mind, right? That's why we want to listen to worship music only. And then the third part of the challenge was to be here in church, in God's house, every Sunday for this entire month. That's the challenge. How's it going for you? I've heard already some incredible stories from people about, even in 1 week, how God's already doing incredible things in their life. Because here's the thing, we know that if we will just commit to doing these three simple things, that our lives will never be the same. We're believing that for you. If you commit to those three things at the end of 30 days, I believe your life is going to be different than what it is right now. I believe your life is going to be better. And if you didn't know about the challenge, hey, it's not too late to get started. Not too late to get started. Start today. Start today. And also, hey, come on. Last week, if you missed a day or two, listen, this is not about perfection or performance. What this is about is growing closer to God. That's what we're doing this for. Learning more about Him, loving Him deeper, and treasuring the things that God values. Again, I believe many of you are already seeing. In fact, I talked to one guy this morning that said, you know, I put worship music on at work, and now all the guys are asking me, why am I listening to worship music? You see, you can't, when you change, when I change, it impacts people around us. This challenge isn't just for you, okay? Because God is going to use that to also bless other people. People around you, your family. Wow. So maybe already some of the things you're seeing are, you have more peace. Anybody experiencing that? Maybe some fears that you have are dying down a bit. Maybe there's some problems that seemed really big, all of a sudden don't seem quite so big, right? Because here, the thing is, if you will spend some intentional time reading the Bible every day, you will get to know God better. If you listen to worship music over these next 30 days, it will help change your heart and your mind. It will soothe your heart and your mind as well. And it's going to bring you encouragement and hope. And if you'll dedicate your time to come here on Sunday mornings in God's house with your church, we believe and we know that you're going to start to experience the power of worship and community in God's house. We believe that. Now, many of you have heard that term, the church as being God's house. But what we want to do over these next 4 weeks is show you just how valuable the church really is. How Jesus intended the church to be and what he still intends for his church to be. That's what we want to show you over these next 4 weeks. I want to start with a story that I heard recently. In fact, it's a children's fable. Many of you may have heard it before, and I'd heard it a long time ago, but I heard it again recently, and it just resonated with me. It really did. It's called The Goose That Laid the Golden Egg. Anybody familiar with that story? Yeah, heard this story from another great man of God, and he gave us permission to rip it off, so I'm gonna rip it off, because it just resonated with me. It's so good. You see, it's the story of a farmer and his wife who had this special goose, and this goose laid only golden eggs. Every day without fail, the goose would lay a golden egg, and as you can imagine, the farmer and his wife were thrilled about that, because you see, this goose was providing for their living. He was providing everything that they needed. And they were blessed greatly because of the golden eggs that this goose would produce. Well, it wasn't long before the farmer, though, started wanting more eggs. He wanted them faster. He began to get greedy and a bit impatient. And he didn't want to have to wait every day now to get just one golden egg. You see, really what happened is he began to fall in love more with the gift that he was getting than the giver. He began to want the egg more than the goose. And so he thought, well, if I just cut this goose open, then I could harvest all the eggs at one time. Then I can get them all. That way, he would have everything he wanted immediately. And so that's just what he did. He cut that goose open. The thing is, when he cut the goose open, he found that there were no golden eggs inside the goose. And in fact, he killed the goose in that process. In his impatience and greed and selfishness, the farmer destroyed the very thing that was blessing him and his family. My friends, the church is a lot like that goose. You see, it's so easy for us to get focused on what the church can do for us, can do for you, that we miss the value of the church itself. You see, Jesus established the church as a way for us to get to know him and also to tell others about him. Jesus designed the church to be life-giving, transforming, and filled with people that love him and that love and help each other. That's why Jesus gave us the church. Jesus gave us the church. And my friends, the church is a beautiful treasure. I've come here to tell you that the church that Jesus gave us is a beautiful treasure. But do we see it like that? Do we see it like that? The church is more than just a place to come when we just want to get something and then move on. That's not what a church is. You see, like the goose was the source of the golden egg, the church is the source of all that God is doing in this earth. And the reason why is because Jesus is the source for the church. Do you see that? Do you see that? Jesus is the source for the church. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5. He said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing." You see, when Jesus was speaking these words, he wasn't just talking to us individually. He also meant those words for his church. He meant those words for his church. Jesus refers to the church as his bride. That's how much Jesus loves you and I. That's how much he loves his church. He refers to us as his bride. Jesus loves his church. Jesus died for his church. So hear me. If you love Jesus, you must love his church. If you say you love Jesus, you must love his church. Listen, I've heard people say things like, "Well, I love Jesus, but I don't go to church. I don't need that." Or they might say, "Hey, listen, my faith is private. It's just me and Jesus." Anyone ever hear people say those things? I have. Friends, listen up. It's impossible to love Jesus and not love, value, and participate in his church. Did you hear me? It is impossible to love Jesus and not love, value, and participate in his church. Jesus died for his church. That's how much it means to him. Listen, if I were to tell Pastor Karen, "Babe, I love you, but I do nothing to show that love. A, do I really love her?" I mean, that's kind of a question. But she might begin to question, do I really love her? I might say I love her, But do I really? In fact, the book of James says, okay, you say you have faith in Jesus, but if you don't do anything with your faith, it's a dead faith. You see, it's the same thing. We can say we love Jesus all day long. We can say we have faith in Jesus all day long. But our love and faith in Jesus requires us to love and participate in his church. I'm not making this up. This is what Jesus said. Despite what you might hear in the world, beside what somebody's opinion is, no, the word of God says this. We need to get that. Hebrews 10:24 talks about the importance of gathering together in God's house. Matthew 18:20 says that where two or three are gathered, that God is there. You see, gathering together in community, and gathering together is community, y'all. And the church is the most important community that you will ever be a part of. I said this at the worship night, and I'll say it again. You can be in the Kiwanis Club. You can be in the Rotary Club. You can be United. Those are all great places. They don't hold a candle to the church. Because the church is the most important community you will ever be a part of in your life. And it's supposed to be the most important community that you're a part of. That's what Jesus said. The church is the outward expression of Jesus in this world. The church is what points people to Jesus. So first of all, the church is in fact a place. It is a place. In fact, if you look in Acts chapter 2, it said they met in homes and they also met in the synagogue, God's house. So first of all, the church is in fact a place. It's a place where people come to learn about Jesus, how to live for him, and how to love others like he does. The church is the place where we gather to worship God and to thank him, just like we've done today. All of us together in unity, we gather to thank God for all he is and all that he has done in our lives. Yes, come on, we can give God thanks for that. You see, what we just experienced here at this altar in this place, you can't get in your living room. Can you encounter God in your living room? Absolutely. You can encounter God in your car, but not in the same way as you're going to encounter him here. Do you see that? There's a reason your presence matters here. The church is a place, but, or I would say and, my beautiful bride tells me, don't say the word, say and. And the church is also people. That is true. The church is, in fact, people. The church is a group of people who are like-minded on a mission from God to live out the life that Jesus has called us to live and to invite others to come along on that mission with us. You see, it's not just us four and no more. No. That's not what Jesus said. In fact, Jesus, before he left, the last thing he said was called the Great Commission. And he said, I want you to go into all the world and teach people about me. Tell people about me. He didn't say, I just want you in your living room. As long as you four got it, you're good. No, he said, I want you to go into all the world and tell them about me. I love Jesus. And I love his church. You see, they're not separate from me. Because they can't be. Jesus and his church are not separate for me as a believer in Christ. And they can't be. I pray that you feel the same way. Maybe you've never thought of it like that. But by the end of these next 4 weeks, I hope that you will see it like that. These next 4 weeks, I believe, are going to change your life. They're going to change the way you look at church. I think they're going to change the way you look at Jesus. Because when you love the church like you love Jesus, you'll understand its value. See, when you connect those dots, you will begin to see the value that the church is. You won't let people speak against the church. You'll protect it. You'll support it. You'll care for it. Yes. When you feel that way, when you connect the dots between Jesus and his church, you're not going to let people talk mess about Jesus and his church. Doesn't mean you got to be rude, but it means you're going to stand up for what you know is right. And then more importantly, forget about the argument standpoint. The bigger thing is you're going to protect the church. You're going to support the church. You're going to care for the church. Because that's what Jesus is calling us to do. You see, the church is a special place. And there are things that happen in this place that will not or cannot happen anywhere else. I want you to understand that. The church, my friends, is like that goose. It brings great and wonderful treasures. And one of the treasures, or golden eggs, and it's the treasure I want to spend a few minutes talking about today, is that the church is a place for people who are hurting. The church is a place for people who are hurting. Listen, I don't even have to guess. I know for a fact there's people that have come into this house today who are hurting. Could be a multitude of reasons why you're hurting. You have some pain that you're carrying with you. Can I just tell you, you've come to the right place. You've come to the right place because God is here today. This is His house, and He has the healing and the rest that you need. This is what Psalm 147:3 says, and this is referring to Jesus long before he was ever born. The psalmist wrote this: He heals the brokenhearted, and He binds up their wounds. And then when Jesus was on the earth, this is what Jesus said in Matthew 11:28. It's not on your screen, just listen. He said, "If you are weary, tired, or burdened, come to me and I will give you rest." That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11. You see, both of these scriptures tell us that God will heal and restore. Now listen, God can do some of that outside of the four walls of this sanctuary. He's capable of doing it anywhere. But you know what? Special things happen regarding our healing and our comfort and things that we get in this place. They're unique. Because the other thing God likes to do, God can do things on His own, of course. But how many people know that God really likes to use other people to accomplish what He wants to get done, right? He wants us involved in this mission, right? Because He knows that when, let's say, you know, we want to help somebody through their pain or give them comfort, He knows that there's blessing for both the giver and the receiver in that situation, right? Multiple people get blessed when that's how it works. You know, when my dad passed away just a little bit over a year ago now, I remember it was on a Thursday. I was in church that Sunday. Why? Because I knew that this church, this beautiful body of people here, I knew I was going to find comfort, encouragement, and peace. I knew that here in our church, there would be people who loved me, who would pray for me, would speak hope and encouragement over me. And I also knew this. I knew that some of you in this room had been through the loss of somebody. And I knew that you would understand. So that I knew that here I was going to encounter someone who would understand what I was going through. You see, I couldn't even imagine not coming to church when I was hurting. Because I knew, number one, yes, I knew God was going to meet me and give me comfort. But I also knew that God was going to have other people bring me comfort and peace. This is how the Apostle Paul described that whole process. It's found in 2 Corinthians. This is what he wrote. "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of what? All comfort. Who comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Do you see how that works? Wow. It is such a privilege, such a treasure to be part of this beautiful church. This body of believers who helped me walk through a very difficult time in my life. I thank God for His church. I thank God for this church. Because it's here that I found comfort when I needed it. Now listen, it was God who ultimately gave me what I needed. But he used his church to do it. He used his church to do it. Walking through healing is a process that we're supposed to do together. We're supposed to walk through things together here in this beautiful place that God gave us. This is what the Apostle Paul was talking about from what we just read. He was saying that when you're suffering, when any of us is suffering, we have to stick together. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Stick together. Be there for each other. Pray for each other. Remember this. God's plan is that he's going to take what the enemy meant for evil, and he's going to use it for good. We actually talked about that very sentiment when we preached about Joseph a few weeks ago, right? Remember, his brothers meant something for evil, but Joseph recognized, wait a minute, they intended it for evil, but God's used it for good. Our afflictions, our pain, those things, the enemy's going to try and use those for evil. But my friends, God is going to use it for good when we comfort each other and when we let God comfort us. Yes, can we just thank God for that? Yeah. And here's the thing. Many times, I would say most of the time, he's going to use the people in your church family to help do that. Listen, we've all walked through things that God has gotten us through. Is there anyone in this place or in the sound of my voice who God has not gotten you through something? I don't think there's any hands that are going to go up, because God's gotten us all through something. So listen, when somebody walks in these doors and they're struggling in pain, we need to be there to bring them comfort that they need. We need to be there to encourage them and to pray for them. My friends, it is hard to receive or to give comfort if you are not here. Your presence matters. It is hard to receive or to give comfort if you are not in God's house. When you're struggling, the worst thing that you can do is stay away from church. I don't say that in a condemning way whatsoever. I say that as an encouragement to you. Please, when you're hurting, when you're struggling, when my dad died, that is not the time to stay away from church. That's actually the time to run into the doors of this church. Because it's those times in life when we need God's comfort and we need each other's comfort and prayers. And I know that there can be a tendency, I've seen it so many times over the years, that when something bad happens, we want to go into retreat mode. Okay, different personalities, okay, understood. But can I share with you in the most sincere, loving way that I can? Please don't do that. I realize it's hard. I know it's hard sometimes to want to come into a place when you're feeling a certain way. Okay, but you know what? I want you to count on this. God promises that he will meet your need and give you the comfort that you need through himself and through other believers. God does not lie. This is what he says. He will do it. So let me just encourage you. When tough stuff comes up, don't stay away from church. Run into this place. Run into this place. You see, you got to get this. If you think that church is just somewhere to go on a Sunday, maybe lift your spirits, make you feel better, you're missing it. You're missing it. You see, you can get that from a TED Talk. You can. You just want to feel better? Okay, I can get that from a TED Talk or other places. Church is way more than that. The church exists to bring healing and hope to a lost, hurting, and broken world. That's one of the reasons that it's one of the treasures of the church. The church is also a hospital. Maybe you've heard that before, right? Which means if the church is a hospital, what kind of people are in the hospital? Sick people. People that need help. People that are hurting. This place is a hospital. It's filled with hurting people. And that's exactly what Jesus intended it to be a place for. So let's dismiss the myth. Yeah, hurting people are in these chairs right now. Hurting people are in this church. But here's something about hurting people that you may have noticed. Sometimes hurting people hurt other people. It happens. In their own pain, for whatever reason, things going on, sometimes hurting people hurt people. Now listen, some of you may have even been hurt in the church. The term that you may hear out there is church hurt, right? It's when people come into the church expecting a place and a people who will be safe, a place where they won't ever get hurt. That's kind of, unfortunately, the expectation that some people have. Well, church, I never gonna get hurt there, right? Because it's supposed to be a safe place. Well, but it's also a place full of hurting and broken people. So you see how that's not going to work? The reality is the church is where people come to get healed, where they come when they're hurting. So I want to say this. The church never hurt anybody. You see, if you look at the church from the definition we've given, which is a collective group of believers, no one, I don't believe, in the history of mankind has been hurt by a collective group of believers. But the reality is there may be a person in a church who has hurt you. Absolutely. Absolutely. But let's get over this idea, or I'm going to call it an excuse. Well, I'm not coming to church because I got hurt by the church. No, you did not. You did not get hurt by the church. You did not get hurt by the bride of Christ. You may have been offended or upset by somebody in a church. Okay. Understand. I get it. In fact, I've experienced it myself. And I've seen many people over the years who've had their feelings hurt or not been treated well in church by people, but not by Jesus, not by his bride. Get that? You just have to remember that the church is full of imperfect people, my friends. And at some point, somebody's probably going to say or do something that upsets you. I might say or do something that's going to upset you. I'm just keeping it real. But here's the thing. Jesus understood that there was going to be church hurt. Jesus understood it. And that's why he gave us some ways to actually deal with it. Here's a couple. Matthew chapter 18, Jesus says, listen, if you have something against somebody, you need to go to that person one-on-one and have a conversation. Hey, you hurt me because this, or I'm feeling this way because that, or this but you go to the person. You don't go talk to six other people saying, well, you know what they did to me, and you know what they did. No. Jesus said, you got a problem with somebody? You go to them and say, hey, let's work this out. Jesus knew we were going to have hurt feelings. Jesus knew that we were imperfect people, that as we're walking this thing out together, we're going to make mistakes and mess up. Right? Yeah. Jesus also said in Matthew 5:23, he said, now, there might even be a time where you hear that somebody has something against you. You're like, well, you know what Jesus said to do then? He doesn't say, well, just wait for the other person to come talk to you. What does he do? He puts the responsibility back on you again. He says, even if you think somebody might have something against you, yeah, you go to them and say, hey, I heard you might have something against me. Let's talk about this. Do you notice where the responsibility lies in both of those pieces of advice and counsel from Jesus? It lies with you. It's not waiting for the other person to do something. It's not waiting, well, if they would just come and apologize. No. That's not how Jesus says to handle offense. That's not how Jesus says to handle church hurt. Oh, if you would just. That's what Jesus is saying. If you would just. Wow. And I would say 90% of the church hurt situations I've seen that didn't go well didn't follow that advice. Had they followed that advice, it could have been worked out. Jesus understood that there was going to be hurt in his church, but he gave us ways to deal with it. If you're expecting the church to be a group of perfect people who never make mistakes, that's never going to happen. And I'm going to emphasize the word never. I don't care what church you go to. I don't care. You can search high and low. Some of the most healthy churches in the that I would consider healthy, they have a ton of conflict in them. The difference is they know how to resolve it. Okay, every church I've ever been a part of has conflict. And every church until Jesus comes back will have conflict. I'm just telling you, it's not going away. So we got to learn how to deal with it, right? You see, it's never, and I'm going to say this right now, it is never God's intention for us to isolate and leave his church. Nowhere in Scripture does it ever say, and if you get offended, it's okay for you just to stop going to church or get out of the church. No, it says just the opposite. We never have permission to just leave the church because of some offense, okay? You see, Jesus gave us the church so we'd have a place to gather with each other and receive healing and comfort for our pain from him and from each other. Now listen, short of some kind of, you know, pastoral abuse or something crazy, people really shouldn't be leaving churches, okay? And even if that were to happen, you need to talk to somebody. It's like, hey, well, this happened, you know. But we have way too many people who have an offense mentality. It's in our culture. It's in our society. And it has bled into the church for many, many years now. We got to get past that. That's not the church Jesus said we're supposed to have. Come on. And here's the reason, because offense is a dangerous thing, right? It's a trap that Satan sets. In fact, I think it's one of his greatest traps in the church is this thing called offense. It's one of the greatest traps he sends because he knows it's going to bring division, right? That's why he sets the trap, because it's a trap that leads to bondage, unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment. And when those things are in your heart, that blocks the blessings that God wants to bring to your life. Blessings like peace, joy, hope. You notice I haven't even said anything about money. My friends, there's way more important blessings in your life than money. I can't tell you how many rich people in this world are dying inside because of resentment, bitterness, no joy. The saying, money don't buy happiness, it's where it comes from. These blessings you want from God in your life. Brandon, if you'll come. Don't let what someone in the church said or did to upset you be the thing that causes you to doubt the value of the church that Jesus died to give you. Don't do that. I want you to think of it like this. Let's say you find an amazing restaurant. And I mean an amazing restaurant. It has the greatest food you've ever tasted, the best service. Everything about this restaurant is absolutely on point, best thing ever. And so you go, and you keep going because every time you go, it's, wow, this is awesome, right? And it becomes your favorite place. It becomes your favorite place to go out and eat. But then there's one time, they overcook your steak. Man, are you going to stop going there? Because of one time? Really? Really? Come on, man. Because you understand that, hey, maybe just the chef had a bad day. Maybe he just didn't turn up he turned up the flame too much on this one night. Maybe he just had a bad day. Maybe the waiter that night just wasn't quite on his game. You know, maybe it took him 5 minutes to get your water filled instead of two. Okay. You gonna stop going? You stop going to that restaurant just because of that? Now think about the church. Why would you leave the very place that God established for you to find enjoyment, fulfillment, community, and purpose? just because something didn't go your way, just because somebody maybe made a comment that hurt you, maybe even because they were hurting that day, maybe because they were having a bad day. There will be times when people in the church, even church leaders or pastors, are going to have a bad day. We aren't perfect, and that's why we all need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus. And this is His church. This is His church. The church is the epicenter of everything that God is doing in this world. You need to get that. Not the Salvation Army, not the United Way, not Save the Whales. As great as those things may be, they're not the epicenter of everything that God is doing in this earth. The church is. Acts 20 verse 28 says that we are to take care of the church because Jesus bought it with His blood. Every person here, this church, the place and the people here right now, Jesus paid for with His own blood. I wonder if you've ever thought about that. This church is a precious, beautiful treasure that Jesus gave us. We have to love it with everything that we have. We have to care for it, support it, and protect it. Because out of all the treasures in this world, there is only one that will never fail, and that's the church. It won't fail now, and it will never fail until Jesus comes back to collect His bride. It will never fail. It's the only thing ever that will never fail. Jesus Himself said, not even the gates of hell will cause it to fail. The church will continue in its purpose, and nothing will destroy what Jesus died to give us. Listen up. If it weren't for the church, there'd be no missionaries. If it weren't for the church, there'd be no preachers to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. If it weren't for the church, there would be no salvations. If it weren't for the church, there'd be no place for children to learn about Jesus. If it weren't for the church, there wouldn't be Christian values to share with our culture. You see how precious a gift, a treasure, the church really is. The church is God's idea, and it's the place where He will use people to bring healing to a hurting world. I love my church. I love God's church. I hope that you do too. Would you pray with me right now? Oh Jesus, we come to You now so grateful for Your church. And God, we thank You that we can bring our hurts and our pains and our afflictions to You. Even in this very house, even in this very place where we gather, and that Your word promises, God, that You will give us comfort and healing for our hearts and for our minds. And Father, as You give us comfort and healing, God, will You help us? Will You show us how to share that same comfort with others who are hurting? And God, for those here who have been hurt by someone in the church, I pray in Jesus' name that You bring them healing. God, help them to look beyond the pain and to find new hope in Your church, the church that Jesus died to give us. God, we love You. Father, we love You, and we love Your church. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And listen, with every eye still closed, every head bowed. I believe there's some people here today. You're ready to start your journey with Jesus. You know that you can't keep going through the hurts of life and everything in your life as it is now. You can't just keep doing it your own way. You've tried and it just doesn't work. And right now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God is ministering to you and giving you that still small voice is what the scripture calls it. You know it. You can sense it. If that's you and you're ready to take that step of faith in Jesus, then right now, would you just pray this very simple and humble prayer? And I want to invite everybody to join in support of anyone that may be actually beginning their journey with Jesus today. Those of us that have been on the journey for a minute, whether it be a year or 50 years or 20, whatever it is, would you just say this with us now in support of someone who's doing this for the first time? Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. I ask you to forgive me and wash me clean. Come into my heart, Lord. Today, I make you the Lord and the Savior of my life. In Jesus' mighty name.